This is Voices of SAE, and I'm speaking to Jamie Hood. This is Sean Kirker and Jamie, and we are Pledge Brothers. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, Brother Kirker. How you doing?
I'm all right. So, kind of taking it back, grade school, high school, and the year you were born in what city?
Born in Indianapolis, 1974. Grade school, Harcourt. Oh yeah, I had to think about it. It's been over 47 years now. Harcourt, and then I went to Broderpool High School.
Broderpool High School, and yep. Then your pledge class was Fall 93 Beta Lambda, correct?
Yep, the best one that came through.
All right, so. What was your path to Ball State? Why'd you choose Ball State?
When I was going through high school, me and Denton were Todd Denton were pretty good friends, and his girlfriend at the time, Amy Farber, decided that she was going to go to Ball State, and we just kind of followed her lead a little bit. Me and Todd went up to Muncie a couple times to visit her, and yeah, it was just good times. So it was either between there or IU, and thought Ball State would be a little bit more fun. So, yeah, we just decided to head up there.
And then how did you get connected with Rushing and SAE?
Once again, that was kind of in the hands of Amy. Amy was living next door to Righteous and Rooney at that point in time. And we got to know them through Amy Farber. And when we did the Rush process, just we had a goat. There was a goat grazing in the yard when we rushed up there. So
I totally forgot about the goat. Oh my god! I totally forgot.
How can you forget about the goat?
There was a goat. That's right. All right. So fast forward to now. Just real quick, what's your career? What's your company? What do you do?
I'm the owner of Hood's Locksmith Service LLC here in Carmel. Pretty much servicing Hamilton County. I try and stay in Hamilton County as much as possible, but I do go out for other stuff, for larger accounts. But yeah, basically a residential and commercial locksmith. I don't really do automotive. I don't touch safes too much, but somebody is locked out of their house or needs their house rekeyed or needs their business rekeyed, that's my specialty.
Okay, awesome. All right, and then like going into pledgeship and going into the house, what was your focus education-wise for major?
Started off as a telecommunications major and a computer science minor, simply because of the fact that I lived in Broderpool. My house was actually, Dave Letterman actually grew up one block over and like basically a 2-minute walk from where I lived. So, I mean, I lived in the same neighborhood as David Letterman and went to the David Letterman same high school. It looks like David Letterman actually ran track. And I thought he was cool at that point in time. And I always wanted some sort of career in TV or broadcasting or something like that. So decided I was going to try out the telecommunications field.
Okay. All right. So as you started pledgeship, we had 27 weeks, which was originally sold to us as 9 weeks, which, you know, when you triple, you know, when you triple a situation. But anyway, we had a really cool pledge class. Who were our pledge trainers?
Burhan. Burhan was the only one that I really remember for the gist of it. I thought we had a secondary
Chris
one.
Chris Wollmeister. Yeah, Chris Wollmeister. He was also our pledge trainer. He was captain of the guys, or the cheerleading for Ball State. He was captain.
Yeah, I remember Chris. I totally forgot he was our secondary. Burhan always, he seemed to be the one that was most involved with getting most of our stuff done. So,
right.
Yeah, Chris was a good guy.
Yep. All right. So, what are some of the original, like, going into the house memories that really made you think, you know, these guys are different than the other guys?
Everybody was kind of laid back, and it's like I said, with the goat, and I mean, everybody kind of had, everybody was down to earth, but still had a little bit of an animal house, a little bit of an animal house mentality. I remember Dietzel one night dumping a trash can down the stairs, and just everybody was crazy. Everybody was their own person. You didn't have to fit into any type of mold to be an SAE. Just be yourself and have fun, and that's what I really respected about the house back then.
Okay. So what are some just cool memories over the years that really kind of stick out that are some of your favorite moments watching the brothers or being involved or even road tripping or anything like that?
Our walkout was epic. Absolutely epic. Going to OU on Halloween weekend, that was just absolutely nuts. Between taking the bus and all the events that led up to the walkout, just absolutely epic. Good times. Y-Store night, oh wow. How many, we had so many people crammed into that house. It was just absolutely nuts. And actually hanging out with the band, and it was good times, real good times.
Okay, what else? What about like Patty Murphy stuff or any kind of paired events or anything?
Yeah, the bed races and stuff like that. Going down university, that was a blast. Patty Murphy was fun. I actually got called back a couple years after we graduated to be Patty Murphy, which was it was an honor. Don't remember much about the night because a lot of alcohol involved, but it was definitely fun.
Right on. So, how do you think SAE, as far as the structure and your involvement, and also what positions did you have, and how did it prepare you for later in life?
I didn't really hold any positions in there. The SAE basically it taught me networking. I mean, a lot of what I have today is because of ties that I had back then. It got me to it refined my social skills, and it's definitely the networking aspects. It's a lot of what I have now is because of brothers.
All right, so you went through some things physically. I kind of wanted to touch on this and how you've had to overcome it. I think it might be inspiring for some people. So just kind of explain what happened back in the 2000s,
Yeah.
and then what you've had to go through since that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that have gone through worse stuff than I did, but this one for me almost put me in the grave. I had something called histoplasmosis, that my body originally noticed it as a bronchial infection. And basically what it did is there was a infection that calcified on my superior vena cava and strangulated my superior vena cava, where all the blood was going up to my head but not back down to my heart. And at this point in time, I was doing construction. I was working for Brother Mike Richardson's dad, where we built hotels. So throughout this whole time, poor circulation, and I'm carrying doors and frames up and down 5 flights of stairs for new hotel builds. But it got really, really bad, and it made you feel really lethargic and always tired. And if you bent over, I would get really dizzy and almost pass out. And I let it go for a while. And one night it just got so bad, I was talking to my grandfather. My grandfather's like, "You better get your butt to the hospital." If he's like, "If you don't go willingly, I'm coming over there and taking you." So I ended up going over to a hospital up in Noblesville, and they had me there for about a week. And they were pretty sure what I had, but they didn't know for sure if it was a histo. At that point, they couldn't get enough sample out of it, where they didn't know if it was histo or if it was cancer. So I had that leaning over, hanging over my head, so I didn't know. They kept me there for a while. They're like, "Look, I mean, we think it's the histoplasmosis, but we're not 100% sure. This hospital, we can't really do anything else for you. The only thing that we could do for you is set you up with a prescription for warfarin for blood thinners that you'll probably have to be on for the rest of your life, and we're gonna have to put you on oxygen because it's your O2 stats aren't good enough." So I ended up going home that night, and the very next morning I was getting out of bed, and I just got dizzy and I passed out. My wife Karen, she's a nurse, and her mother has been a nurse for a long time in Chicagoland area, and her mom came down to kind of help out with everything that was going on with me. And after I passed out, her mom was like, "No, we're getting some answers, and we're getting to the end of this." So they ended up packing me up and sent me down to IU downtown. And IU had me down there for a while. They also thought it was the histo, but they couldn't prove it because where it was located, there was no way to get in and get a good enough sample to test it. I was there probably about a month and a half down there, and finally one day the doctors came in. They're like, "Look, I mean, we're fairly sure what this is. The only thing that we can do is we're gonna have to crack you open, and we'll have to do a bypass for it, which is open heart surgery." Doctor's like, "Look," he's like, "I got to be honest with you. There's a 40% mortality rate for this, so there's no guarantee that you're gonna make it." He's like, "Good chances, but there's always a risk." So I asked the doc, I was like, "Well, can I take a little bit of time to kind of stew it over? I've been in the hospital for a while." They told me what I had wasn't per se life threatening, just my quality of life was going to go so far down that I would have been miserable without the procedure. So I was like, "Well, this was like 1 year after I'd just gotten married. And just, I mean, my whole life was ahead of me at that point. Just, it's didn't know what I wanted to do. It's a lot to put on somebody at one point." And so I was like, "Well, let me go home and think this over, and we'll see where we go." And came home and prayed about it and talked it over with my wife and everything like that. And we decided let's go ahead and go for it. So surgery went off pretty much without a hitch. They got me in and out and got everything. It went the way that it was supposed to. The only thing is now is that there are some after effects of it. The synthetic graft that they put in, because they had to basically cut my superior vena cava, cut the decayed portion out of my superior vena cava and put in a graft. The only thing is now is that my body's trying to heal something that doesn't need to be healed. It keeps on building up scar tissue around each end of the graft and putting like a webbing in the middle of it. So every couple of years or so, I got to go in for an angioplasty, and they have to balloon it out, and then I'm usually good for another couple of years. So it's something that I'm gonna have to live with for a while, and it's reduced what I can do. I'm not that 20 or 30 year old anymore that can go run around the block or do all the crazy stuff that we used to. But God willing, I'm still here alive and kicking.
All right, so if you're going to give some, advice mentally on how you had to sell yourself on getting through it, like to younger guys, like to the actives, because everybody's invincible when you're in college, getting wasted and jumping off things and doing crazy, crazy. But reality is, you don't know when your body internally is going to do some things that you never even thought was on the radar. So
Exactly.
how would you give some motivation and just insight to some younger guys, actives or even guys, just kind of soon graduating or whatever, on how you had to sell yourself on getting through it?
Selling myself on getting through it is, you're just put into a do or do not. There is no try. And it's you just gotta, it's like, do you want to live or do you not? I mean, just don't give up and do what you gotta do. And as any advice that I would have for some of these newbies out there, you're only young once. Just go ahead and have fun and do what you gotta do. Have fun, but kind of be careful too. But yeah, I don't regret anything I did in the past. Just live your life and have fun.
All right, so
Make the most of it every day.
what's a cool story that you could kind of remember of a brother helping brother, or brother helping you, or you helping brother?
Richardson actually did a lot for me. It's him and I. My senior year,
And
junior
what's his
senior year,
full
where
name? Say his full name.
Mike Richardson.
Okay.
Yeah, it's we were pretty good friends for my junior senior year. Hung out a lot, and even after he graduated, still spent some time with him, quite a bit of time with him actually. And yeah, he's been one of the ones that I've seen the most of ever since we graduated. But yeah, he's as soon as we left high school or left college, I did the retail game for a while, and as soon as I got tired of doing the retail thing, he's like, "Hey, well, just come on over here," and he got me set up working for his dad. And then it pretty much even at that point in time, even after we left college, because I didn't do anything with the telecommunications, it's I realized that probably halfway through college. It's not really what I wanted to do with my life. And I didn't know. I mean, even after I left Ball State, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I got up with Richardson, and he got me into working with my hands. And when I was working for him, we were doing door frames and hardware, which kind of led to locks. And when I started messing around with locks, I mean, think about it, Kirker. I get paid to do stuff that you can get arrested for. You gotta love that. I mean, it's just the thrill that you get when that lock turns over. It's just I can't even describe it. But yeah, he kind of helped put me on my path to where I am today. So yeah, I think he's one of the ones that helped me out the most out of everybody in the house.
That's pretty awesome. So what advice would you give to some of the actives, and just, you know, after school, and also how they should stay involved and realize what the brothers can end up doing for them down the road?
The brothers can do a lot for you down the road. Just make sure, while we're there, there's Brother Hero, Brother Nero, Brother Zero, all that stuff. Just don't be one of the ones that goes, because there are some guys that came through that, hey, I think it's going to be fun to be in a fraternity. They're like, well, you know, forget this. And I mean, we had some guys that we called brothers that, you know, that didn't end up, after a while, didn't end up being our brothers, or just didn't really, just kind of separated from everybody. Get to know your brothers, get to know who they are. Get to know them well, and try and keep in touch with as many as you can after you get done, because Jason Llewellyn was one of my roommates when we were there. He owns a couple of Dairy Queens now, and I handle the locks for his Dairy Queens. Brian Johnson, I ended up doing some locks for him. There's quite a bit of the guys that have called me up, and they use me for whatever they need. It's helped my business a lot.
That's great. All right, my man, is there anything, any other crazy story, anything else you want to add before we close it out?
Some of them we just can't talk about, Sean.
Okay. All right, well, Phi Alpha, stay on the line, and I'm going to close this one out.
All righty, brother.